again? Right. Okay. So I wanted to talk about a specific midah today, but probably not in the way that you'd be thinking. I would talk about the midah of chesed, okay, but not in terms of giving to other people. Okay. Following the shiur from last week, where we talked about developing ourselves and becoming the best selves that we can be, there's one aspect of that that I think needs some specific focus. So I'm going to be talking about giving to ourselves. Okay, the idea of midah, or the midah of chesed to your own self. And I'm going to explain why I think this is so crucial for everything that you work on. So first of all, when we talk about chesed, we know that chesed is really seen as the highest midah, the pinnacle, the goal that we're all trying to reach. We know that the Ramchal brings down in a number of places, one of them being Derech Hashem, but in other places also, where he talks about Hashem created the world for chesed. Hashem created the world to give of His goodness, to do good. And that, as we mentioned last week, since we're in this world to try to emulate Hashem, to be like Him, so, and that's the whole purpose of the world, with Hashem to find ways to give to us, and the whole world is a project of Hashem giving to us of His goodness. The best way that we can be like Hashem is to figure out how to be Baalei Chesed, how to be givers, right? You probably heard of the famous Kundras Bechira that Rav Desher talks about, where he talks about being a Baal Chesed is the highest level a person can reach. That's pretty understood. Everyone agrees to that, being a giver. Now, what I'd like to argue is that a person can't really be a giver to others unless he first learns how to be a giver to himself. And I want to explain what that means. There's actually a study that I saw once that was conducted by neuroscientists. Neuroscientists, these researchers, they study the brain, how the brain functions. And one of the things that they like to study is that when people are feeling different things, what parts of their brain light up. Right? It doesn't mean actually light up, but in other words, that they have all these kind of brain imaging machinery, and they can see what parts of the brain get active when you're feeling certain things. And what they found is that when people are feeling compassionate for others, okay, when they're feeling kind to others, when they're feeling understanding of others, there's a certain region of the brain that's very, very active. Okay? And of course, we know that in order to be a giver, you have to be able to be understanding and kind and compassionate to other people. But what they also found is that when you're being kind and compassionate to yourself, which we'll define in just a minute, the same region of the brain lights up. The same region of the brain is very active. And they found that people who were able to, who displayed attitudes of being kind to themselves and compassionate towards themselves, okay, and they had a lifestyle like that, had much more brain activity. In other words, they felt much more compassion towards others also. Which means to say that, this is just another way to say, that being compassionate and kind to yourself is the other side of the coin to being kind and compassionate to other people. Why am I making such a big deal out of this? Because there are two types of giving. There's a type of giving where a person does an actual action of giving. Right, you give somebody tzedakah, you do a kind deed to somebody else, for somebody else. But there's another kind of giving where it's not only about the action, it's also about the attitude and the feeling that goes into it. And just imagine, you probably know this from your own experience, right? When you go to somebody for help, or you receive a kindness from somebody else, there's a very, very big difference between the person who's doing it sort of mechanically because they know that they have to, or they know that they should do it, versus a person who's doing it for you with feeling. A person who's doing it because they want to. A person who's feeling compassionate, who's feeling understanding, who's feeling warmth, who's feeling care at the same time. And if you've been the recipient of those two different kinds of giving, you know how different they feel. it doesn't feel all that good to receive a kindness from somebody when you feel that their heart isn't into it. Does anybody have that, had that experience? Right? It doesn't feel very good to receive a kindness from somebody if you don't feel that their heart is into it. And what Hashem expects from us is to become high-quality givers. In other words, if we're going to really emulate Hashem, we have to figure out how not just to do chesed, okay, but to transform ourselves so that we actually feel the feelings that are supposed to go along with doing chesed. And those feelings are the ones that I'm describing, right? Feeling care, genuine care and concern for people, wanting to give, feeling compassion, feeling kind and understanding, right? That's what Hashem, and that's much, much harder, okay? It's not so hard to actually do an act of giving tzedakah to somebody who doesn't have money. What's much, much harder is for your heart to go out to that person and to feel bad, and to feel like you want to help them, and to feel warmth to a person who is in need. That's way, way harder, right? But the key here is that that is not possible if you don't display the same attitude towards yourself. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. Let's say you get sick, and your body's failing on you in some way, okay? What's your attitude towards that? How do you treat yourself in that moment? So for some people, they'll see that and they get critical of themselves. They'll feel that it's weak of them to act sick, and they should get over it, and they should get past it. And there's something wrong with them, and they should ignore it, okay? If that's how you look at yourself, and then one of your good friends is sick, okay, you're going to look at that person the exact same way, right? And even if you, on the outside, act kind, you won't be able to be a good friend to that person in that moment, because your attitude towards getting sick is that it's a bad thing. So when you see it in your friend, you're also going to say, oh, he's sick. You're going to be thinking to yourself, he's weak that he's sick. He should really get over it. And you can't be feeling that towards a friend and be kind to him at the same time. Does everyone see how that works? In other words, the attitude you have towards yourself is the attitude that you portray to others. Let's take another one. Sick is a physical thing. Let's take an emotional thing. Let's say if you have the emotion of sadness, okay, you judge yourself for that. You say to yourself, I shouldn't get sad. I should be stronger than that. Feeling sad is being weak. You know, let's say that's your attitude towards being sad. Okay? And then you have a friend who goes through a very difficult event in his life, and he's really sad. Okay? You won't be able to be compassionate for him because your attitude towards sadness is that it's a bad thing. It's a negative thing. You've already judged it. And since that's the attitude towards sadness that you've developed towards yourself, it's the exact same way that you're going to see him, right? In order to be a good friend, in order to be a kind person, right, you have to be able to develop an attitude of care, understanding, forgiveness, all those things. But very often, we don't have that attitude towards ourselves. So if you want to be able to give to others in a real genuine way, which is the way that you can most emulate Hashem and what He expects from us, it starts with how you look at yourself. Okay, the chiddush here, which is something we don't think about very often, is that a person has to learn how to become the recipient of his own care and kindness. Right? It wouldn't be so novel for me to come up to get up here and say you have to learn how to offer care and kindness to others. There's a million shmuz, and you'll hear about that. But I think it is somewhat of a chiddush for me to get up here and say, you have to learn how to become the recipient of your own care and kindness. Most people have no idea what I'm talking about when I say that. What does it mean to treat myself with a kind and caring attitude? There's a whole lot of questions. Does anyone have any idea what I'm talking about right now? Is this making sense? Okay? Okay, let me give two examples that I want to go into a little bit deeper here where this really, really hits home. One of them might sound strange because you're not fathers yet, but I want to talk about chinuch ban. Okay? Chinuch banim. The reason I think this is so important is because becoming a good father to your children, which is universal, there's not one person in this room who can say to me, I don't want to become a good father, right? You don't want to be good fathers. So it resonates with all of us. There's not one person in this room that would say otherwise. becoming a good father has a lot to do with the attitude you develop towards your children, the way you see them. And the way you see them has a lot to do with the way you see yourself. So even though you might not think in this way, this training that I'm suggesting right now is directly related to the kind of father you're going to be. And I want to do the following exercise with you guys. I'm going to make a statement of something that you might tell yourselves, and then I'm going to just transplant that into imagine saying that same thing to your child and see how it sounds. Here's one example. See if you've ever said this to yourself. I'm not happy with who I am. I really wish I were like that guy. I should really be where he's holding. Okay, don't have to raise your hands. As anybody here, just think to yourself, have you ever said that to yourself? Let me say it again. I'm really not happy with who I am. I really wish I were like that guy. I should really be where he's holding. I've said that to myself. Okay? Many of us have. Now imagine saying that to your son. Son, I'm really not happy with who you are. I really wish you were like that boy. You should be where he's holding. Right? How terrible would that be? But isn't it crazy? We say that to ourselves all the time. And there's a very high probability that if you say that to yourself, that is the attitude you're going to say to your son or your daughter, to your child. Right? Because it's a mirror. The attitude to yourself is a mirror. Let me try another one. Imagine having this attitude towards yourself. I think it's important to push myself very hard and not to give myself credit for my accomplishments. Okay? All of us have been guilty of that. Now imagine it as follows. I think it's important to push my child very hard and not to give him credit for his accomplishments. Okay? Let me try a third one. I have to beat myself up when I make mistakes, or else I'll repeat them. Okay, let's try this one. I have to beat up my child when he makes mistakes, or else he'll repeat them. Right? It's so obvious when you think about it, but everything in the first category, all of us say that to ourselves. And everything in the second category, we would never want to say to our child. So this is the point. We have to figure out how to treat ourselves the way that we would want to treat others. Right? And it's not something that separate entities, right? It's the exact same voice. The same voice in you that talks to you and gives you a message about yourself is the voice that will come out in the attitude you have towards your child. Now, and you probably know this from your own life. We all have little narrators in our head that gives us messages all the time about ourselves. Okay, your child will end up having a narration going on in his mind, things he tells himself, and it will end up sounding a lot like your voice. So we have to start to train ourselves. Now, the beauty of this is that what comes out of this analysis is that our own selves are like a laboratory. You can start to test out the attitudes that you want to eventually have towards your children. And that's how we are supposed to see ourselves, that we are our own testing ground. Okay? So it's worthwhile to pause and to think to yourself, what are the messages I tell myself about my competence, about my accomplishments, about, you know, how good I am, all these things. And if those messages are not things I would want to convey to my children, perhaps I should think about trying to change the way I see myself. Perhaps I should... Now let's try it in reverse, okay? What are the things you'd like to convey to your kids? You'd like to convey patience, okay? You'd like to convey unconditional love. You'd like to convey understanding. You'd like to convey warmth, right? Now imagine that towards yourself. Imagine unconditionally loving yourself. What does that even mean? Right? Imagine being patient with yourself. Imagine being warm towards yourself. Imagine being loving towards yourself. Now, most of these things are very foreign to us when I suggest them the first time. Okay? That's the first thing. That's the first area where it's so obvious that we have to think about how we're treating ourselves. Chinuch banim. The second area Is there any questions about that, by the way? No? Okay. The second area, when it comes to how we look at our Yetzer Hara. How do we look at our Yetzer Hara? Now, what is the Yetzer Hara? So, the Ramchal, once again, in Derech Hashem, he talks about what the Yetzer Hara is. In Derech Hashem, the Ramchal explains that the Yetzer Hara is the drive within a person that pulls him towards physical pleasure. Okay? It's the little, or not so little, loud sometimes, drive inside you, the urge inside you, that pulls you towards physical pleasure. Now I want to ask you, what's your attitude towards your Yetzer Hara? What do you think about it? Okay? Most people, if I ask that question, are going to say, I don't like my Yetzer Hara. I wish it would go away. I wish it wouldn't pester me so much. That's the way most people think about the Yetzer Hara. I want to show you the way the Torah tells us we're supposed to look at our Yetzer Hara. Very different than what you might think. In Das Tevunos, which is another Sefer of the Ramchal, he writes as follows. Iker biyazu, the main reason the neshama is in the guf. Why did Hashem put your neshama in your guf? L'zakecho so zikuch mamish, is to purify the body. L'ha'aloso mishafel madregaso hachomrit v'chashecha el ha'madrega elyona, to raise up the body from its lowly, dark, physical state to a higher level. It's very clear that the reason your neshama was put into your body is to raise up the body and to train it and to teach it how to be a mensch. That's what your neshama's job is in your body. Okay? What other relationship do we have where one person is supposed to raise the other person and teach him how to be a mensch? What? Right, parent and child. Okay? In a parent-child relationship, it's the exact same thing. The parent's job is to raise the body, is to raise the child and teach him how to be a mensch, okay? That is the kind of relationship that the Ramchal is talking about here, that your neshama should have to your guf. Okay, the guf is the seat of the Yetzer Hara. The guf is where all your Yetzer Hara wants to do is to draw you into your body and feed your physical urges, feed your physical pleasure. The neshama is the parent inside you that is supposed to love the child and teach it how to be a mensch, which means your neshama's job is to love your body. To love, by that I say body, I mean the body and all of its urges. The Yetzer Hara is involved in that. Okay? The job of the neshama is to teach and train and educate the body so that instead of getting pulled into not good things, I want to teach you how to channel your energies into good things. Okay? So the neshama is supposed to have a very positive attitude towards the body. There's actually a story that's brought down in the Gemara where Hillel Zaken, the great Hillel, was leaving the Beis Medrash one time. And he said to his Talmid, and it was rare that he would leave the Beis Medrash when it wasn't the time to leave the Beis Medrash. And he said to his Talmidim, I have to leave the Beis Medrash because there's somebody who's poor and forsaken who I have to go take care of. It's my job to go take care of. And the Talmidim said to him, Hillel, we'll do it. Rebbe, we'll go stay and learn. So he said, let me explain. My body is totally dependent on me. And right now it's without food and it's without any care, and I have to go take care of it. The way Hillel looked at his body was as somebody that he has to nurture and take care of and provide for. Right? That's the way Hillel saw his body. The Yetzer Hara is not a bad thing. Now, people ask, why is it called a Yetzer Hara then? Okay? Yetzer Hara just means that it's a Yetzer that if it's unchecked, it can get into bad things. And just take a parent and a child. If I let my kid do whatever he wants, okay, it's going to be wild, chaotic, it's going to go into bad directions. But if I channel all of those energies into the right direction, it's a very, very good thing. Those energies are wonderful, wonderful energies. Every single one of them, every single energy that the child has is a good one if the parent channels it. But that can only happen if the parent loves the child and loves the energies and all the potential within that, right? Every single Yetzer Hara, Yetzer, that we have has good in it. And we have to see it as such. Our job is not to beat ourselves up for having urges. Our job is to see our urges as wonderful things that are supposed to be used for Avodas Hashem. and to teach ourselves how to do that. I want to bring you a couple of Mar Makomos that make this point so, so clear. First of all, the Mishnah Brachos, which you've probably heard before, Mishnah Brachos and Daf Nun Dalad Amud Aleph. Chayev Adam Levarech Al Hara, Kishem Shem Levarech Al Atov. Person has to make a bracha on bad, just like he makes a bracha on good. Shenemar Ve'avtas Shem Lokecha, B'chol Levavacha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'shnei Yitzrecha. B'yitzer HaTov V'b'yitzer Hara. A person has to make a bracha on the good and on the bad, and it brings the pasuk that you have to love Hashem and serve Hashem with your whole heart. What does it mean, love Hashem and serve Hashem with your whole heart? With your Yetzer Tov and with your Yetzer Hara. What that means is that you're supposed to serve Hashem with your Yetzer Hara also. That part of Avodas Hashem is figuring out how to use your Yetzer Hara to serve God. Right? The Yetzer Hara is a good thing. It's a conduit to serve Hashem. Let me give you another example. I saw that there's a sheet going around here from a different shir that has the Medrash from Bereishis Rabbah on it. It says the Medrash from Bereishis Rabbah. When the pasuk says Tov Ma'od, why does it say in the creation of the world Tov Ma'od? The Tov Ma'od is referring to the Yetzer Hara. The Medrash says that if we didn't have a Yetzer Hara, a person wouldn't build a home, he wouldn't get married, he wouldn't have children, he wouldn't be involved in business. The Vilna Gaon explains that the Yetzer Hara is the pull in you towards the physical world. Since Hashem wants us to be involved in the physical world and to interact with the physical world, we need the Yetzer Hara to do that. The Yetzer HaTov, the good part of you, the Yetzer, has no interest in this world. Okay? Chazal say that if it was just up to the Yetzer HaTov, we would be ascetic. We'd be detached from this world and be just involved in Ruchnius all day. The Yetzer Hara is the part of us that wants to be steeped in this world. It's a good thing. Hashem needs us to be involved in this world, to elevate the world. That's why we're here. The relationship between these two parts of us is supposed to be harnessing these energies, which are drawn into the world, says the Gra, and to use them in a positive way. Ravolbi makes this point very, very clear when he goes through a list of different Yetzer Haras, and he explains, if you go through each one of them, there's a positive energy in each one. I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, let's take the big three. Kina, Taiva, Kavod. Okay, the Mishnah in Avos says, Kina, Taiva, Kavod, Mosina, Sadam, and Olam. These are the three main Yetzer Haras that can take you out of the world. And people talk about how these three are connected to the three Yarg, Vayavar sins. So these are the main three. Every single one of them. Let's take Kina. Kina, which we would call jealousy, comes from the same root as the word kana'us, right? Who is held up on a pedestal for the midah of the positive midah of kana'us? Pinchas, right? Kana'us is a wonderful midah. And if we had time, we could have a whole shiur about what kana'us is. But it has to do with wanting to set things right when they've gone off. Pinchas saw that something had gone off, and he had an energy in him, and he excelled in this midah of setting it back to the way it's supposed to be. If that energy is misused, it leads to jealousy. If it's harnessed and channeled in the right way, it leads to kanos. It leads to standing up for when things are right. That's kina. Taiva. Taiva is perhaps the most clear out of all of them. Right? Taiva, of course, can be used for very, very destructive means. But Revolvi in another place talks about how taiva is the source of kedusha. Right? If we didn't have taiva, we wouldn't get married. If we didn't have taiva, we wouldn't bond with the wife, we wouldn't have a family, we wouldn't be able to bring shechina into our homes. Taiva is a wonderful, wonderful thing, if it's used properly. Okay? Kavod, that's the third one. Mechazonish, and Emunah B'Tachon talks about kavod. There's a difference between kavod atzmi, self-importance, inflating myself, and we have a concept versus that, kavod haTorah, kavod shemayim. Right? The need to feel important is a very, very important need if we associate it with the right things. If we feel important because we're attached to Hashem and we're attached to Torah, that's good self-importance. If it's kavod atzmi, if I want to feel important and I make myself into a baal gaiva, that's bad self-importance. Anyway, every one of these topics we could develop further. My point is that you will not be able to find one quote-unquote negative Yetzer Hara that doesn't have a kernel of good in it and doesn't have a way to be used for good. And our job is to look at each Yetzer Hara, to figure out the way that it's supposed to be expressed, and then to do it exactly in that way. And I want to read to you the words of Rav Kook. Rav Kook says this so beautifully. I want to read to you inside. In Einaya, he's talking about the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Hey Amud Aleph, says, La'olam yargiz adam yitzer hatov al yitzer hara. A person should be margiz. It's hard to translate that word. A person should use his yitzer tov to be margiz, to agitate the yitzer hara. What does that mean? How do you use yitzer tov to agitate the yitzer hara? Listen to the words of the Rav Kook. Okay. Hakochos sheba adam, the different energies in a person. Hatovim veharaim, the good ones and the bad ones. Tachlitam lihishtamesh behem bederach hatova, all of them are meant to be used for good. The good energies and the bad energies. Imkein, kochos haraim shemitad yitzer hara, when you have negative energies, the yitzer hara energies, ein ze yitzer tova lahachlisham l'ulma'atam, it's not a good idea to destroy those. Do not destroy your yetzer hara. Don't destroy your negative energies, says Rav Kook. Ki lifamim yu nitzrachim letachlis tova, because you're going to need them for a good purpose. V'lo yachal lahanot mitzvah, and you won't be able to enjoy them because you've destroyed them. If you had a way somehow to get rid of your taiva, of your kinah, of your kavod, if you didn't have those energies in you, I don't mean if they weren't used in negative ways. If you didn't even have that drive in you, it'd be terrible. Because you wouldn't be there when you need them. Hatov sheba hadrachos, the right eitza, who, sheyu hakochos kulam bimiluam betuvam, leave your kochos in their full force. Allow yourself to have full energies. Rak, and here's the key, shehakochos hatovim yu hashlitim, your positive forces, the ability of to have self control, they should be in charge. V'haraim, and the bad ones, you kufim tachas edam, should be under their control. Again, same idea of a parent and a child, right? You want your child to be a full expression of all of his energies, but it needs to be within the boundaries and the rules that the parents set out. Ki be'emes gam haraim tovim hema, because the truth is that the kochos that we call bad are really good. Bishamra meskvulam, as long as they're kept within the proper boundaries. Okay? That's Rav Kook himself. So, this is the second area. The first one was chinuch banim. This is the second area, the Yetzer Hara, where it's so clear in Chazal, so clear in the Torah, our attitude towards our Yetzer Hara as we're trying to work on ourselves. And who doesn't have to work on their Yetzer Hara? Or whose Yetzer Hara doesn't get a hold of them sometimes? Our attitude towards that should be, this is an inherently good part of me, it's a positive part of me, and it's just doing what kids do, right? It's going, running out of control, because that's what kids do, that's what Yetzer Haras do. It's an unbridled energy in me, and my job is to figure out how to teach it to use this energy in the right way. Is that clear? Does everyone understand that? Okay? Our fundamental attitude towards ourselves, including even our Yetzer Hara, which gets such a bad rap. Yeah, I feel so bad for Yetzer Hara. It gets such a bad rap. People give it such a hard time. Our fundamental attitude has to be, this is a wonderful, wonderful part of me, as long as I figure out how to harness it and channel it and use it. All of this until now was basically explaining one reason that we have to be kind and giving towards ourselves. Because if we're kind and giving towards ourselves, and we develop this attitude, we will then be able to give to other people. And I want to give another reason why it's important to be kind and giving towards ourselves. I want to start with Rav Shimon Shkop. Rav Shimon Shkop, you may have heard of one of the great educators of the Jewish people. He wrote the Sefer Shaar Yosher. And I've never heard anyone say this, but I believe that one of the reasons Rav Shimon Shkop was such a gifted educator, pedagogically, when people talk about Rav Shimon Shkop, that's what they talk about. His genius and his understanding of the people that he was teaching, and that he was a really, really gifted educator. That stands out about him among all the Gedolim that we've had. I believe, I haven't seen this anywhere, I think one of the reasons that he was known as such a gifted educator is because of the following klal that he writes. And this is in the Hakdama to Shar HaYosher, in the introduction to the Sefer. He writes as follows. He's talking about the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. Be holy. And he writes, Kol ma she'ose gam la'atzmo. Everything that a person does for himself, lahavras gufo v'nafsho, for the health of his soul and the health of his body, hu mityaches gam kin al mitzvas kedusha, is an act of kedusha. Sha'yedei ze yativ gam l'rabim, because when you act towards yourself with kindness, you are doing an act of giving towards the tzibur. Shebetovaso la'atzmo hu mitiv im harabim hatzrichim lo, because an act of giving to yourself is also an act of giving to the people who need you. And this is the second reason that a person has to be kind to himself. Hashem wants from us the highest quality service. And it's not just that Hashem wants it, Klal Yisrael needs it from us. Hashem put us in this world so that we could give to Klal Yisrael everything we have to give. And if we're depleted, and if we're malnourished, and if we're sleep deprived, right, and if we're depressed, and if we're not giving ourselves enough healthy social interaction, then we're stealing from the tzibur. We're stealing from the tzibur. Because we have kochos in us. We have to nourish ourselves so that we can bring out all the kochos that we have. And Hashem put us here to give those kochos to the klal. An act of giving to yourself so that you become a more whole and quality person is an act of giving to Klal Yisrael, and it's an act of Kedusha, says Rav Shimon Shkap. If you neglect yourself, you cannot better the Tzibur in the way that you're supposed to. We also have another Maramakam I want to share with you, which says almost the same thing. It's the Sefer Shirei Das. Okay, Shirei Das is written by Rav Shiva and tells Rav Yosef Yudalei Blach. And Shirei Das has an essay there where he writes about the concept of litzorach. We know that in halacha, you can only be mevatel Torah if it's litzorach, if there's a need. If there's a need to be mevatel Torah, and you don't have to learn, you can mevatel Torah. So usually we define that as like a basic need, like food or water kind of need. In Shirei Das, he expands that, and he says you shouldn't think that. You shouldn't think that litzorach, what constitutes a need, is only the basics, food and water. And he says as follows. Larov b'nei Adam, for most people, and he says the only example, he cites two exceptions, maybe Rabbi Akiva Eiger and maybe the Gra. Okay, so we're all most people. Okay, so far. Larov b'nei Adam, darush lezeh, to fulfill a tzorach, in other words, to have a real need, that qualifies as a need. It's demanded lakachat min ha'olam yoter michdei hasipuk, to take more from the world than just your basic needs. Darush hu l'ta'anugim gashmim, we all need certain physical pleasures. L'tiyul, we all have to take tiyulim and walk. L'chevrat b'nei adam, we all need social, we need friends, we need social settings, right? That's called the need. Lehitaneg minoam ateva, we all have to appreciate nature. Bechadomeh. And in other places, people talk about the need to listen to music sometimes. The need, in other words, where's the line that he has here? One second. Here it is. Kol ma shenitzrach lo la'adam, anything that a person needs, l'man ya'amod al mitkanot nafsho, kidei shiyeh b'matav sharotun v'simcha, anything that a person needs in order to help him get to a situation where he feels ratzon, which I think he's using as kind of like satisfied, and simcha, meaning happy and joyous, bichlal litzorachu. That's called litzorach. So, when we're talking about how do we take our needs seriously so that we can nourish ourselves and give the klal the highest quality of ourselves that we can. So there's such a thing as really taking our needs seriously. And things like I mentioned, things like sleep, things like eating, things like exercise, things like, right? These are all things that are important. And they're not important because of you. They're important because Klal Yisrael needs you. Klal Yisrael needs you to be the best you, and those are all necessary, says Reb Lach. The Maharal says this also. We're getting into the parshios now of the Avos. And when the Maharal is in the Sivos Olam, when he's talking about the Avos, listen to what he says. He says, there are some times when Hashem acted with the Avos, Lamala Menateva, when the Avos were treated in an above nature type of way. Aval Zulat Zeh, says the Maharal, but other than those exceptions, Hayahan Hagosam Apiderech Eretz, their behavior was according to the way of the world. They acted like normal people. Ki derech eretzu hanhagas olam hazeh. Acting like a normal person is the way that we live in this world. Umi she'enoig b'derech eretz ve'enu bal olam enu nechshav min hamatzius klal. If you don't act in derech eretz, you don't allow your, and you don't act in, you're not a bal olam. You're not living in this world and you're not part of mitzius. You're discounted. You're not part of Metzias anymore. You're not living in this world. Hashem wants us to live in this world. Now, the main question that everybody always asks is, where's the line between giving yourself what you need and overindulgence? Where's the line? And it's so easy to take what I'm just saying right now way overboard. Oh, okay, so, you know, I kind of feel a little bit sick, or I'm a little bit hungry, or, you know, I should get more sleep, so I should go back to bed. It's so easy to overindulge yourself. So how do you differentiate between a legitimate need that makes you into the person, the best person that you can be, because Klal Yisrael needs you, versus overindulgence? And this is where we come back to the point that we were making about guf and neshama. It's all about your attitude. Okay? When it's an act of love, so then you treat it one way. Let's use the example. If my child comes to me and says that he's hungry. So if I'm acting lovingly towards him, if I'm feeling loving towards him, so I want to give him something that's nourishing. And I want to give him the right amounts, the amounts that he needs, so that he can have energy and go on and, you know, do his best. But if I am not feeling loving, what I'm going to say is, go eat whatever you want. And of course he's going to eat candy and things that aren't good for him, right? And he's going to overindulge, because he doesn't have a way to differentiate between what's good for him and what's not good for him. When we treat ourselves with a loving attitude, it becomes very clear where that line is. That if I go too much into this, I'm already not loving. Sometimes giving too much is not an act of love. And if we look at ourselves that way, and we think about being loving, that also includes being responsible. It means thinking about things in the long term. It has a lot of factors into that. When we're not being kind to ourselves, when we're not being compassionate to ourselves, right? That's when we overindulge. And I guess the point that I want to end here, but the point that I want to drive home is that I feel that we don't take this side of chesed seriously enough. I think that we talk a lot about having chesed towards other people, and we very often neglect ourselves. And we think, and we couch that, or we clothe that in frum terms. We call it Mesiras Nefesh. We call it Meimis Atzmo Al HaTorah, right? But I think fundamentally what we're doing sometimes is we're sacrificing ourselves in a very unhealthy way. And we're developing very unhealthy messages. We're not becoming our best selves, and we're not developing the kinds of attitudes that we want to have towards others. So what I'm advocating here is to not only think about being Baalei Chesed to others, we should definitely think about that, but I think that we should stop and pause and ask ourselves, are we really excelling at being Baalei Chesed to ourselves? And I think this is a time where our attitude towards others can change, but I think also our attitude towards ourselves sometimes needs to be recalibrated and also needs to change. So, Mr. Hashem, we should all think about this a little bit and develop healthier attitudes towards ourselves. Good.